B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Got a gun. Yes, I got two. That's okay, man, because I love God.
Glorified version of a pellet gun. Feel so manly when all glorified version of a pellet gun.
There you go.
Glorified version of a pellet gun.
That's all I really know. Ah, there we
yeah,
go.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. See? Pretty good at karaoke.
It's very good. After 10 years, you know the lyrics, Maz. Excellent. There you go. Hour number two, Felger and Maserati here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. The latest on the Bruins is this. Zdeno Chara not at practice today after undergoing what we think was surgery for a broken jaw yesterday. So, nope, he did not make practice the next day, as you might expect. But someone who did return was Matt Grzelcyk, who skated with a red non-contact jersey. And if you listen to Murray's update here on the radio side, Cassie said he's still in the protocol. Okay. And he says if he gets cleared, he'll be ready to go. Whether that's by tomorrow or not, I can't tell you. That's probably the best I can give you right now. Grzelcyk spoke with the media following practice, which in some cases is a tell that they're playing. In Patriots land, it means you're playing. And if you're with the Patriots and you talk that week, that means you're coming back. That's a pretty consistent trend with that team anyway. And he said, I'm feeling good. It's obviously nice to join back with the team. It was nice to be out there and take some reps. The league handled the hit, so I'd rather not comment on it. So if the trend line is this, Char is out tomorrow, Grzelcyk's in. Do you feel better about the situation?
Yes.
And Cassidy also said, I'll just give you one more. Cassidy, according to Fluto, classifies Juho Vaakanainen, the 20-year-old rookie, as a long shot. Says that's a real big risk. The day before, Cassidy was saying, well, if we don't have Char, we don't have Grzelcyk, we're going to go 7D. And, you know, you're throwing young players into the lineup there, and that's a risk, so you have to mitigate that. And he talked, you know, without using Vaakanainen's name, he's both basically spoke for minutes about using a young rookie defenseman in that situation. So I feel like his tone sort of changed overnight, and I think that that tone, and maybe that thing that I read you after the news broke on Chara that Grzelcyk was being reevaluated and had a chance to play. Maybe that evaluation came back good because he's on the ice. He's on the red jersey. He's talking.
Yeah, so to me, it feels like they're hedging their bets a little bit, right, or prepping. The point being, he's not cleared in the protocol yet, but he might be cleared tomorrow, and we better get him on the ice today.
Or when it comes to Vaakanainen, and he saw something at practice today that made him say, oh, boy.
I think it's the first thing.
Related to Grzelcyk.
I think it's related to Grzelcyk.
But I would still carry a seventh defenseman.
Me too. You know what, Maz?
Kampfer.
Me too, by the way.
Yeah, if they're not going to go Vaakanainen and add Kampfer as the seventh guy. And I'm not telling you I love Kampfer.
I'd still go Vaakanainen in there.
So listen, but it sounds to me like they're not going to do that.
So we're throwing up the D pairings at practice with the Bruins today. They had Clifton and Kampfer on the third pair, both right shot guys. I think Kampfer is the placeholder for Grzelcyk. And if Grzelcyk isn't going, if Grzelcyk wasn't going to play, I think he'd still be talking about 7D and Juho Vaakanainen and young defensemen and things like this. I think the fact that he turned and said, now that's a real big risk, is telling you
they're feeling better about Grzelcyk.
I think Grizzlick's in.
Yeah. I would. To me, that's what it feels like, how it's going.
I'll still tell you, though, I'm with you. I'm still going 7D there.
I would add, because look, again,
you're losing a guy a night.
Probably. Yeah, I mean, the way it's going, that's how it feels like. So I would want some insurance there because the two games that they lost a defenseman early and they were gassed at the end. I mean, really, they got manhandled in the overtime game here in overtime and even late in the third period. It wasn't great. I thought Tuukka was good there to bail them out. And then in the third period of the last game, they got absolutely smoked. So, you know, to me, I sort of tie it all together and I say you're losing defensemen in there. And then you have no legs in the third period and none in the overtime in game two. You got to carry the extra body. And the other thing is, what sacrifice are you making to do it? David Backes? So you're going to give up Backes and maybe get more ice time for Pasternak or Johansson in the process? I'll take my chances.
I heard Ty Anderson talking about this earlier today, I think in the morning. you know, Backus is in there for the physicality and the policing and being able to match, if not match St. Louis, but, you know, at least have a guy to hold some of these St. Louis Blues accountable for running you. Has Backus done that?
No.
I mean, has he prevented one Blue?
No.
From ramming you into the fifth row?
No.
I mean, they are teeing off on you.
Yes.
And it is. We're sort of lost in the middle of the series, but I bet you deep in the summer, we can go back and watch some of these games, and just it'll strike us how freaking physical this thing has been. And Backus's presence has not curtailed one bit of it.
No, because the Blues are bigger than you. I mean, at the end of the day, one guy's not going to change it. They get too many. They get too many. They're bigger than you. They're bigger and they're stronger, and they're going to smack the crap out of you. So to me, I think the answer's got to come from guys who are good players in other places. Like if you're talking about the physicality part of it. And I look at Carlo and I look at McAvoy. Those two guys in particular to me. Backus is giving you nothing. So if we're talking about adding a 7D at the expense of Backus, what is that even a decision?
And to me, it's not. And it also, maybe it jars something on that Krejci line, which has been, you know, nothing. Has been a big, fat nothing.
I mean, I like the idea of adding someone with a little speed and skill for Krejci, because Krejci can find the open space.
Or just mixing and matching. I mean, maybe that just, you know, just the change of scenery there, changing up the mix can jar something loose from those guys. Pastrnak for a couple shifts. Heinen for a couple shifts. Johansson for a couple shifts.
Absolutely.
You know? And
also keeps the Blues sort of guessing a little bit. Like, who are we going to get now? And I, you know, whether and not that, you know, the Bruins have the last change at home in the next game anyway. So I don't know if the Blues will react to it, but it just creates a different dynamic. I would do it because Backus is giving you squat. Really, he really is. And look, I don't want to dump on the guy because I admire his willingness to do whatever he can do. And his character and his makeup and all of that is good. But they're getting zero out of that line.
Okay.
Zero.
Okay. Question to the group. Is it possible? I'm not answering it. Asking it and facilitating.
Facilitating the conversation.
I know where you're going with this.
AKA sitting on the fence.
Do you know where I'm going?
Yeah.
Is it possible the Bruins could be better off with Grizzlick in that left slot than Zdeno Chara?
Yes.
I still don't see it from a PK standpoint. I don't. I think they're so much worse without Chara on the penalty kill.
You didn't say it was probable. You asked, is it possible?
Is it possible?
Yes. Yes, because they'll move the puck quicker. I mean, so again, now this comes down to a lot of variables. You know, is Grizzlick the same? Right? That's number one. And, you know, is Chara's impact on the penalty kill as great as we think it is? Because they killed penalties without him in the last game.
Okay, so notice I didn't say, so the more accurate question might be, are they better off John Moore or Zdeno Chara? Because Moore is the one playing with McAvoy.
Correct.
But anyway, so I mean, there's different ways to cut that up. You feel better if it's Grizzlick back in there versus Kampfer and Vakanainen or whatever the case may be.
Oh, sure. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And is it possible that for a short period of time they might actually be better off?
Yes, it's possible. Again, I don't know if it's probable, but it's possible.
Remember, two wins. We're not talking about... And they survived a month without him, so like they've actually done this too. But, you know, I would never tell you that going into a season, you're better... When Chara retires and it's over, they're going to be in for a transition, and it's going to hurt them. And because I just think there's so much value to him, you know, across the board. But we're not talking about a season. And we're not talking about a month or a half season or anything. We're talking about two wins. You're two wins from the cup.
Yeah. No, I think in the short term, you can actually be better. I don't rule it out. And I'm not making a prediction. Okay, I'm just telling you, I think it's possible. And I'll tell you why. The other thing, because we asked a question yesterday. Chara's minus 12. Is that about him or is that about McAvoy?
He's plus 12.
Plus, what did I say, minus?
He's plus 12.
I meant plus 12. So is that about him or is that about McAvoy?
Both.
I mean, who carries who?
Both. Well, I mean, I think Chara's still a very good goals against player.
So I wonder, and this comes back to me to, you know, some of what we were talking about at the beginning of the postseason.
Okay, but let's be fair. Would you rather have McAvoy Chara or McAvoy John Moore?
Chara, but again, only because it's a known commodity. And because it's familiar, and I got to admit, there's some name value there. Like you say Chara, and you say, well, I sort of know what that is. Moore's been okay in these couple of games. All I'm saying is this. I don't rule it out. Because now I do look at it and say, well, if McAvoy's out there for 24 minutes, can Moore be out there for 24 minutes?
No. Good point. McAvoy can. The other one, you might be looking at diminishing returns. Either way, it's about to get real. 2 out of 3 for the Stanley Cup. How you feeling, Murray?
Bruins lose tomorrow night. They're going to lose the series. It'll be over Sunday night.
So that's the series if they lose tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
They can't go into St. Louis and win?
Nah, I don't think so. Not without Schauer. I said Bruins in 7, but if the Bruins lose at home tomorrow night, I think this thing's over.
I rule nothing out. I mean, again, it's hockey.
How close are you? 2 out of 3 for the Cup.
Yeah. It's, you know, I told you, one of the things that I find alarming, and there's some truth to this for the Bruins, too. The Blues have closed out strong in a lot of these series. In games 5, 6, and 7, they're 6-1.
Well, you said it too. The Bruins have done the same thing.
Yeah. They didn't have games 5, 6, and 7 against Carolina, which isn't their fault. So the Bruins are 4-1 in those games, but the Blues have given up 9 goals in those 7 games.
What did the Bruins do? Tuukka Rask has given up 1 goal in each of his last 3 elimination games.
True. Yeah. And again, I'm in the San Jose series, what was the combined score of the final 2 games?
If you're trying to
10-1.
If you're trying to tell me that the Blues are a worthy adversary, they are. They can beat you. If you don't play the right way, they can beat you. If the Chara injury really leaves a mark, they will beat you. So, yeah, uh-huh. This is why I'm saying it's about to get real. So, your Bruins thoughts with the Ainge stuff right after these words.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You use the word trepidation to describe the sentiment around Boston. If Big Z can't play, what happens?
Could be catastrophic for the Boston Bruins, let's face it. He's not just the inspirational leader. You might think at 42, that's what a player turns into. But not Big Z.
He's effective.
He gets it done on a nightly basis. His ability to get pucks out of the zone, to shut offensive players down on a series basis. Whoever has been thrown at him, he's been able to put them down. And really, truly, he's one of the last players in this league that can settle everybody down on any given night just with a look. He's that intimidating. He's still on top of his game. It would be, as I just said, catastrophic if he doesn't return to the series for the Boston Bruins.
That's Brian Lawton from the NHL Network. Says catastrophic for the Bruins if he doesn't return. Do you agree with that?
I don't, but he might be right.
Well, okay, before I get to that, real quick, just want to thank Bertucci's for a little food drop here today. For a limited time, celebrate summer with Bertucci's. Try their lobster and seafood special menu items. Only for a limited time at Bertucci's. Brick Oven Pizza and Pasta, the official pizza of baseball fans. And Bertucci's now delivers right to your home or office. So thanks for Bertucci's for all the chow out there. He says potentially catastrophic, but and I'll play another cut here. He says Chara can settle anything just with a stare. Which is true. Like, and in today's NHL, when you can't really fight or settle it the way you used to, just sort of the presence and the menace and the body language, and like, I think that's sort of how it's done now. And Chara can absolutely do it. You saw him do it with Tarasenko in Game 3, and, you know, I think Chara can do it. But that's kind of an intangible, isn't it? The way he looks at you. And listen,
has he done it this series?
I think he did it in Game 3 with Tarasenko. I think he has. I think he did. I think he did it with Maroon in Game 3 as well. So I think he has a little bit. I think he has a little bit, but it's still on the intangible side of the ledger. And here's a follow-up question to Lawton. Listen to this.
And before this happened, I'd heard you say perhaps Tuukka Rask, who seems to be a favorite for the Conn Smythe and deservedly so, if Tuukka's the most valuable player on the team, Big Z is the second most valuable. Why?
He really is, because he allows all the Bruin defenders to play the way that they need to play to be successful. They don't have the biggest D after him and Brandon Carlo, but the fact of the matter is these guys play with confidence. You look at the series that Torey Krug has had. He's absolutely been on top of his game. Part of that comes from having a captain like Zdeno Chara. First of all, that gives you the support to do what you want to do, but also has set the culture, Tony. That's what's really impressed me. There are really no rookies on the Boston Bruins. Everybody's treated as equally as they should be. This truly is a team atmosphere, and that's a big part of the reason for me why they're still playing.
Okay. That's fine analysis, but that's analysis that I think is germane to September when you're first starting the year. Allows other D to slot into their own spots. They're, you know, offers them the support as the captain, sets the culture. You're not allowed to call them rookies. The team's together. Like, all those big intangible pieces, I do believe in, are really important, and Char is a big part of it. But we're sort of past the team building stage, wouldn't you say? You know, and so, look, he can give you a stare and settle something, and the culture and all this stuff. We're talking about 2 out of 3 now. We're talking about, those are in big picture intangible things. We're not, you didn't hear Brian Lawton going on about matching up against so-and-so or breaking the puck out of the zone or quick transition, which you need against the Blues, or breaking down their, or any, you know, particular in-game X and O. He's talking about the big picture value of Zdeno Chara, which I buy into. But that's not what we're doing here.
Correct.
So that's just a way to say, it's not diminishing the value of Zdeno Chara to say, they can survive it at the next 3 games if that's the case. And oh, by the way, I don't know. I mean, doesn't it have the whiff that he's still has a chance to come back in this series?
Oh yeah, I don't rule that out either.
And talk
I'm
about
glad you brought that up.
Talk about a lift that you get. Talk about the emotional lift you get when he returns to the ice, the actual ice in a Game 7 scenario. If that's the case, talk about the moment there.
Maybe it's Game 6. Who the hell knows? Like, so, but listen, again, it's all abstract stuff that they're talking about.
Yes, correct.
Right? It's abstract. So, like, I listen to it and I say, no, you know what I think they'll miss from Chara? The space he consumes. That's what it is. His ability to, like, just deflect a puck or chip it with his stick and reach it where another guy can't reach it. You want to tell me that? That I buy into.
Me too.
So, but again, the other stuff to me is like, you know, I just think a lot of that gets overplayed because of what Chara has been over his career. I don't know that he is a lot of those things anymore. Like, that, it's always the danger when you're talking about a veteran guy like that. I mean, couldn't we say that Backes has a lot of those intangibles too?
No question.
And what's he giving them?
No question. All right, so let's mix in your Bruins thoughts with our Celtics thoughts. Scott and Weymouth, lead us off quickly.
What's up? Thanks for taking the call, Felger and Maz. What's up, guys? All right, real quick, 2 points, Felger, in and out. You mentioned the next man up, defensive-wise. This whole right shot, left shot thing, and I know you hate when you say I played the game, but it really isn't that big of a deal. If you're a left winger, you can play right wing. If you're a right winger, you can play left wing.
It's a big deal to them, Scott. It's a big deal to them.
And it's a bigger deal on D.
It's a big
That's a good argument.
It's a big deal to them on D. That's all. Whether you think it is or not. Or it is or not is another thing. They value it. So when they're putting together the lineup, they put a lot of stock in it. They do.
Okay, fair enough. That's a good point. Maybe on D. Offense, it doesn't matter. I'd rather play on my off wing. You can see more of the net when you're shooting. If you're a left, you're on the right wing. Okay, now, am I still on?
Yes.
Don't hate me.
You are.
Hello?
Scott,
Hello?
You're still on.
Okay, ready for this one? Here's my take, Felga. And I hope Cassidy's listening. If the Bruins get off to a slow start tomorrow night, I want to see Coyle moved up to the first line. Now, why? It's like a horse. He wants to run. He's on fire. He's the hottest Bruin. Put him up there with Marchand and Bergeron to bring Pasta down.
Okay, I'm going to just stop you there. And normally I'd laugh at you, but here, 5-on-5 points this series for these following players. 5-on-5. Even strength, points. Ready? Brad Marchand, 0. Patrice Bergeron, 0. David Pastrnak, 0. Jake DeBrusque, 0. David Krejci, 0. David Backes, 0. Those are your top 6 forwards. 0-0-0-0-0-0 even strength points. Points. So, at what point do you say, even at this juncture of this series and this season, do you say that can't hold? You have to start flipping things around.
No, now would be a good time.
So normally I'd say I'm keeping Coyle with Johansson, and that's the group, and maybe I'm prioritizing their minutes. Maybe I'm treating Coyle Johansson minutes-wise and offensive zone face-off-wise and those sort of things. I'm putting them in Bergeron's spot. Or, who knows, you can't be zeros across the board in your top six over four games and do nothing.
No, that has to change. And again, this is another reason why I would sit back as float a different right wing in there. So I just don't like the idea of moving Coyle up to the first line because I think he and Johansson work together.
They have something going, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, that works. And so you know what? At the end of the day, you're looking for goals no matter where they're coming from, and so you have a good tandem right there, and the matchup is good. I wouldn't mess with it. But if you want to tell me that you want to take Backes out and drop Pasternak down there from time to time and then move Johansson in for a couple of shifts like that, I'm in. Shake up the dynamic a little bit. And if that means, who knows, maybe that means that Johansson ends up on the first line sometimes. And then, you know, when he doubles, like, I don't know. I mean, I'm not smart enough to figure all that out. But shake up some of the wingers. That I would do.
Yeah. Adam in St. Louis, what's your take? Adam?
I'm sorry, guys. Yeah, no, I was just calling to talk about how the Blues are going to close it out in the next two games.
Okay, how?
RD is shutting your guys down. I mean, you just listed the top six forwards. Parayko and Bouwmeester are playing out of their mind right now. I know Binnington had the one bad game, but if you look back at his last two or three months of play, that was due. I mean, that was going to happen eventually, and we still overcame it the next night, tied the series back up. I was at that game on Monday. It was just brutal what the Blues were out there doing, you guys, just beating the hell out of you guys. Seeing Chara's blood on the ice was fantastic. It was well worth the $700 a ticket.
Adam, you understand he didn't get touched there. That was a deflected puck. You understand?
I agree with everything you said except your goalie. He's not that good.
Oh, stop. Come on now. You guys know that's not true. You guys are looking for anything you can hold on to. Hey, last week I heard you guys talk about how the Blues aren't good at anything. They're just big and physical. And today you guys are sitting here talking about how, oh, well, they could go ahead and win this thing. You know, they're pretty good. I mean, you guys are shaking. It's all right. We get it. The Cup's coming to St. Louis, boys. Coming down Market and 14th, baby.
Okay, Adam. Good luck.
And then no one else will be downtown.
I hate that kind of radio. Oh, you suck. No, you suck. Go ahead. Say what you got to say. You might be right. The Bruins could lose this series.
And Binnington isn't that great.
But I'm not that guy. You know, the Blues are a worthy opponent. They could easily win this series.
Yeah. Soldier, I agree with everything he said. They beat the crap out of the Bruins. They absolutely did. I have feared this all along, that the longer it goes, the more it favors the Blues. However, Adam, in St. Louis, your goalie blows. He blows. He's really not that good.
But the Bruins were petrified by the end of that game the other night.
Yes, absolutely petrified. They were. So again, you tell me, what saves do you remember Binnington making last game?
No, I don't know what Binnington did in that game.
It's got nothing to do with him. It's about the D. Their D is really good, and they police the front of the net and all of that. All legit.
And
they protected the goalie in the last game because they know that he's about to wet himself if it gets to a big spot.
And 5-on-5, they've shut your ass down. That's just a fact. I mean, you gotta just accept that. Now you can change it. That's not a prediction for the future. But that's what's happened. Those guys have shut down your best forwards. That happened. Here's Murray's update. We're back with more.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5 Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. You know, you work your entire life to be in a situation like we're all in right now. You know, when you put the work in that we've all put in to be here, you're gonna do anything to play and to try to help your team win. So I'm sure they have guys with injuries. You know, it happens with every team at the end of the series. You hear, you know, guys are playing with broken bones and torn muscles. And, you know, so it's no different in this series.
Okay, it's Brad Marchand talking about playing through injuries and playoff hockey. So talking about Grizzlick, talking about Char. Maybe he's talking about himself. Maybe he's dealing with something. Either way, Maz, you have a thought on Brad Marchand?
I do. Look, as much as we talk about Pasternak and how Pasternak can't take the hits and, you know, he's not a physical player and he's bailing out in the corner, all of which is true, I expect that from Pastrnak. Like, I'm under no illusion about what Pastrnak is. He's a finesse skill player. That's what he is. The Bruins never had those guys over the years. It's part of the reason they couldn't score when they got into the playoffs. And, you know, so, you know, I think Pastrnak in the aggregate is an ad. And does he come with negatives? Sure. No question about it. If the series gets overly physical, which doesn't happen all that much anymore, he's borderline useless. True. The guy I'm more irritated with is Marchand.
Why?
Because Marchand should be able to handle some of this stuff. Marchand has grit to his game. Marchand's the guy I look at and say, you can win a puck battle against a bigger guy. You've done it your whole career. You get some grit, like, fight. Where is it? Like, where's the engagement level on Marchand? Where is that? And I know he had an assist in the last game, but come on. It was a, you know, he flipped the puck.
Secondary assist to Bergeron.
Yeah, it was, and I just, I'm sorry. I think Marchand's a key guy.
Matt, 5-on-5 in this series. 0-0-0.
He's been, and again,
minus whatever, right?
Yes, he's been, I think, minus 3 of the last 4 games, when I was looking at it right. And so I look at Marchand. There was that stat we had earlier in the year. They're 24-1 when Marchand scores in the playoffs. 24-1. And I'll tell you what, let's throw out some of the early numbers because he's been a different player in the last 4 years of his career, right? He's been a 30-plus goal scorer in the last 4 years of his career, 35 goal scorer. And that length of time in the playoffs are 12-0 when he scores. 12. And the record when he doesn't score is basically as bad in the opposite direction. So I just, you know, to me, I look at Marchand, I say, Marchand's the guy. Marchand's the one that can get him going. Where's Marchand? Where is he? Marchand should be able to handle this kind of crap. The last 4 years when he doesn't score, they're 9-18. Like, I look at Marchand and say, you know, this is the guy that flaps his gums, that gets under people's skin, that can, you know, win puck back. He can go into the corner, lift your stick, steal the puck, DQ out of your skates and score.
Yeah, all that is true when he's right.
Okay, so, but again, so.
And I know there's no excuses in that clip. He's just talking about there is no excuses. But just even watching him, Maz, that last game we're in St. Louis, we're watching it. You even said, does he look right? He doesn't. Like, there's something definitely going on with that guy.
Okay, but again, I'm as worried about the level of engagement. No shots. No shots on goal in the last game. And the game before that, he had one.
Well, some of that is just plain stupidity or tightness. It makes no sense. Okay, there was one in game 4.
Stop being stupid and tight.
Yeah. But this is my point.
Well, I got you.
So okay. This is my point. Like, what you know,
but
shoot
the chippiness and other things, like, I just, like, I don't see the separation and quickness I've seen from Brad
Marchand. It feels like this series has evolved from chippiness and agitating to flat out complete and utter war. And Brad Marchand, with his little crap, is sort of like, no, the big boys are actually playing now, Brad. So your little, like the little pad flip he did on, remember when he skated
Bennington
the other night and hooked the inside of his pad?
Yeah, and then fraud went down like a soccer player.
Oh, so you don't like it when teams flop, Murray?
Well, because, Mike, at least be consistent with it.
I am being consistent.
Yeah, but it's been way worse in that last game from St. Louis from anything that you saw from the Bruins.
Oh, it was?
Those were pretty much legitimate penalties. There were a couple of sell jobs. You got one from Clifton, and you got one from Backes, maybe game 1 or 2.
You don't
Tarasenko and that goalie.
I'm saying you don't like flopping.
No, I'm okay if it benefits the Bruins. Okay. I'm consistent with my fraudulence.
I can't play that game. Either flopping's good or it's not good. So it's not good when they
flop. I'm for whatever helps the Bruins.
Okay, so, I mean, I'm not necessarily. I'm not. I mean, the flopping, if you flop, I'm going to call you out. And I'm not going to celebrate you flopping and rip them for doing it.
I mean, the Binnington one
That's silly. That's fanboy radio.
The Binnington one was bad, though.
Of course it was.
I mean, that was really
bad.
But all
I'm saying is, but back to the point. The point is, that little crap by Marchand
doesn't work.
The series has evolved beyond that.
Right.
That's not what this series is not about, that little chippy crap and sticking his tongue down your throat. It's about driving you into the 10th row. And so, you know, I wonder about that.
Yeah. So, but again, it's not the ratness or the rattiness or the chippiness that I'm looking for. I'm looking for the compete. When the puck goes in the corner and Marchand goes in there with the defenseman, he wins a lot of those. He's a great puck battler. And he's quick. Now, the quickness, Murray, might be gone because he's not creating any space for himself at all. So maybe that's part of it. But I hope it's not just because he's tired of getting hit or pushed. If that's what it is, too bad, dude. This comes with the territory, being a 35-goal scorer.
Okay.
This is it. This is the time. Step up. Let's go.
Marchand, I notice it. Courtesy of Anthony Maserati. Mix that in. Bruins, Celtics, I promise, to your phones in our long commercial-free segment next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Dunn shoots, deflected on, wrap around, they score! Ryan O'Reilly!
Chara, left circle, shoots, Pennington the same, rebound, they score! Charlie Coyle hammers it home.
Petrangelo shoots, rebound, they score! Tarasenko!
I think, first of all, I think we shoot the puck way more in this game, and it's playoffs, a little bit different game than regular season. You don't have clear shots, and people try to block shots all the time. So to find your chances, you need to go in the red zones, score some greasy goals maybe. And
the Bruins turn it over, right circle, it's fired, blocked.
The jar in the face.
Oh.
The trainers come to me and said, done for the night. Question was asked, but he'd like to sit with his teammates. I'm like, if medically he's able to do that, and that's fine.
Martian working against Dunn. Pulls it in front of his bench. Saucer to head. Bergeron far circle. Shoots. Pennington the same. Rebound. They score! Brandon Carlo shorthanded the 20th Bruin to register a goal here in the playoffs. And the Boston Bruins have tied game 4 at 2 apiece.
Ultimately, I would give that goal back if it meant a win. I don't really care to score as long as we're winning. So, I'm not going to say it was nice to score that goal. I would much rather come out with a win.
Now to Petrangelo with time. Wires the shot on. Rebound. They score! Ryan O'Reilly! And the Blues take the lead again.
We catch them in the change, and it was just quick up mindset that we kind of talked about as a team having. And yeah, just kind of try to get speed to go to the net. And obviously, it was a great shot. Good bounce.
Clearly can't allow the player to get it. How do you do that? Well, you either get to the puck first, or you get under his stick. That's kind of your options. But we didn't arrive on time. Not much we can do about it now except learn from it, and let's do a better job next time making sure we're on time.
All right, that was Jimmy Stewart's look back at game 4. And Cassie was talking about that last goal. I've watched it a couple different times now, the O'Reilly game winner. And mostly blamed a bad line change, which it was. The puck did not get deep enough for you to bring all 5 guys off like that. Or, do a wholesale change, whether it was 4 of the 5 or 5 of the... there was a wholesale change. And the puck got only halfway between the red line and the blue line on the other side. And so that just set up Petrangelo to walk down to what Tuukka Rask called the ladies' tees and tee off. And so it was just bad timing. But also, I will say this, and Cassie mentioned it there. When I watch it again and again, McAvoy and Heinen were there to do something, and they did nothing. And I think it may have been Heinen worse than McAvoy.
Heinen missed his guy.
You were there.
I asked someone about this. It was Heinen's guy.
You were there. And I didn't even ask anybody. I just saw it again today. I'm like, wait a minute. He was actually there. Heinen pissed me off in this game.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't love McAvoy on the play either. Remember, both goals that they scored, or 2 of them anyway, were on rebounds in front of the net.
Guys.
Clean it up.
It's the Stanley Cup final. It's now 3 games left. You can't go out there and miss your guy. First of all, you can't change there. But if you are and you do arrive just in the nick of time, pay attention. God. Heinen had the giveaway that led to the Tarasenko goal to make it 2-1. Heinen got caught on probably another dive by Schwartz on a penalty there in the second or third period, whatever it was, late in the game. Heinen pissed me off in this game.
Yeah, he had a bad game.
Can't do this at this stage.
No, and again, the lapses, right, you sort of look at and say, and again, I get it, it's 60 minutes, it's a long haul. Like, you lose focus for a second, and all of a sudden the puck's in the back of the net. Can't happen now. It's, you know, you're at the stage here where every single one is just a huge shift. You can't lose any focus at all.
Okay, as promised, back to your calls here. Marcel in Woonsocket. Yes, Marcel.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Good. Listen, alluding to Marshawn, so, you know, the Blues have done their homework, and they've covered this guy, and they've kept him in check, no pun intended. But he'll get going. He's such a dynamite player. I called in the stead of Chara. I really think that this might be a blessing in disguise if he's not on the ice. This guy's finished. My goodness, this guy is finished. This skater, you know what he is? Statue of Liberty with a hockey stick up top.
Okay, Marcel, you might be right. We'll see. It feels like Grezlik's going to make it in and Chara's out, at least for Game 5. Feels that way. So you'll have a nice little showing there. Are the Bruins quicker out of their own zone? Are they better with the puck? Is their transitions better? Is the whole thing a little more speed out there? Does it benefit you? Is the power play just as good? We'll see. It'll be right there on the ice. We can talk about what we think's going to happen, or we can, and then we'll see.
I'm not telling you it's probable. I think there's a chance that they're better. What I worry about is Grizzly getting hit again. That's what I worry about.
But Grizzly being back, I think, softens that blow yesterday of Rask not making it, you know, of Chara being out in this game. So I, you know, yesterday when Chara was out, we're thinking it's a combination of Kampfer and a rookie Yuravakanainen. And like, no, if Greslick's coming back, that sort of changes the equation, I think, a little bit for the better. Adam and Lowell on line 5 on Kyrie Irving. Again, we're mixing in our Bruins stuff with Celtics. I jammed up there, Billy. Could you pop up Adam and Lowell? Hi, Adam. What do you got for us?
Hi, guys. How's it going? Yeah, I was on the Kyrie Irving bandwagon. All the nonsense that came out of his mouth until he folded like a cheap suit in Milwaukee. He can go underachieve in New York. And can we get something out of the way? Can we stop saying mercurial for pro athlete?
Thank you.
If you're a pro athlete and you're mercurial, you're just an a-hole. If you cure cancer and you're odd, you're mercurial. But if you're a spoiled brat AAU kid who's been getting his ass kissed since he was 15, you're not mercurial. You're just a dick.
Thank you. So look, I think some people are mercurial. Would you? My computer just jammed, or else I would do it myself. Well, let me see if I can try. What is the definition of mercurial?
It's fancy for giant pain in the ass.
It's susceptible to extremes.
So, volatile, capricious, temperamental. A person subject to sudden or unpredictable changes of mood or mind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so my wife is mercurial. Your wife is mercurial. Women are mercurial. Sorry, Trenny. Subject to sudden or unpredictable changes of mood or mind. Okay, that's mercurial.
Just for the record, I would never describe my wife as mercurial.
What would you describe her as?
She's pretty even keeled.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well. No, I'm the mercurial one.
Okay. Naz is mercurial. Kyrie's an a-hole. So I'll grant you that there are some people who might just be purely mercurial. That's not Kyrie. Kyrie's, as the caller said, sort of a putz.
Oh, I think he's just completely self-absorbed, egomaniacal dink. Like, he's a narcissist. Totally. It's worst case. Like, guys like that are brutal to be around.
So, and that thing today that he posts on Instagram, this phony, you know.
Oh, it's so contrived.
So what he did, and again, we'll circle back to this, is, you know, Danny Ainge had a press conference today for the first time since the end of the season, and really just his tone was that of a guy who knows Kyrie is gone. And on that very same day, Kyrie today post this Instagram video of him talking to his former crossing guard at school in New Jersey, the guy that used to cross him on the street for 7th and 8th grade in wherever New Jersey. And he went back and did a little video with him today on the street. And, what you know, just a very simple thing just stood out to me is that it wasn't like he was just in the neighborhood and walked by with his phone and did like a selfie. No, he's got a camera crew.
Yeah.
He's got a camera crew.
The quality of the video is really good. I mean, it's possible it was shot on someone's phone, but he's got someone with him. There's no doubt about it.
He's got someone with him. I mean, that's fair. Maybe it's a phone, but that feels like some sort of...
Yeah, with or without a crew, like an actual camera crew, he handed the phone to someone or someone's using their phone, and he probably said
that's
to them,
not a phone, by the way. As I'm watching it again,
with the borders on it, that was produced.
But, and I'm telling you, to walk and talk, your phone jingles. This is like one of those cameras that has like the motion thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Well, anyway, it's
either way, he said to someone that he's with, hey, make me look like I'm down to earth as I go home to my roots. You know, something along those. This is just so, it's so forced.
I think he's got a crew with him. I think he's got an actual guy, at least a guy, at least a professional cameraman with him, is my guess. That was professionally shot.
He's relaunching, remarketing, got the logo and everything. I mean, the whole nine yards. He's relaunching in Brooklyn.
With the pyramid, except with the 369.
Jersey.
Well, okay, but you know what I mean.
Yes.
I mean, the franchise is in Brooklyn.
So anyway, that's Kyrie Irving, and we'll play Angstrom today coming up as well. It's our long commercial-free segment. It continues after Murray's update here. There were developments today with the Bruins. Who was on the ice today? Who was not? You'll get those details from Murray right here. We're back to discuss that and the Ange comment, so don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.